Greetings in the name of Jesus again. It's good to be here this morning.
I bring greetings from the church at Aarberg. This morning, I come bearing a message that is very broad. Hopefully, what I bring to you is going to be more focused and intentional here, but the subject of technology is vast, okay? I could go 10 different directions with it if you give me the time. But this morning, I want to bring some warnings. I want to bring some dangers, and also in the way of encouragement, hopefully, just to spur you in the right direction. I want to open it up with Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If you go back to verse 24, put away from thee thy froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. And again, let thine eyes look straight on. It refers to a focused intention. And I don't know if you caught that on today, this morning, a beautiful introduction, that the Christian life is a intentional life, okay? If you intend to walk the Christian life just loosely, it's not going to go well for you. But it is with intention, suggesting a walk with singleness of purpose. Okay? Ponder the path at thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Talks about one that does not turn aside for sin or for anything that is unworthy of your full attention. I'd like to go to Philippians. Philippians 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I believe we can agree that we are living in a time of peril. Okay, in a time where evil is done just as a way of life, just freely. whatever the flesh is inclined to do, it is consumed. That ye, among whom ye are, ye shine as lights in the world. This morning, I intend to do something different. I hope you'll bear with me and entertain what I bring to you here this morning. But a lot of what I say here is not really just for youth. Okay, the young people, I think we can agree that they are affected the most with this subject. But this morning, I also intend to talk to the parents. So I want all the mothers and fathers to stand up. This is no trick. All the mothers and fathers, please stand up. This message is for you. And I want to impart to you the perhaps the greatest gift that you can give to your children. Those seated next to you, beside you, the greatest gift that you can give to your children and also the church of the future is your good example, okay? And a willingness, okay? And a willingness to sacrifice for the good of the church and your children, the next generation. This is not asking for much, is it? I hope not. As intentional Christians, I hope not. The only way that Christians can use technology is if they are willing to sacrifice, okay? They're willing to sacrifice and do without. It means that you're willing to put away the thing that offends. And out of Matthew 18, don't worry, you may soon sit down. This verse is intentionally for you. In Matthew 18, verse 6, but whoso shall offend the one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. In context of parenting and shepherding your children in the right use of technology, dads and moms, whosoever causes another to enter the spirit of the world by your administration of technology. You may sit down. This morning, you can gladly disagree with me and my point of view, but be sure that you will need to make a deliberate choice of your own. Okay? Because we live in a perilous time. We live in a perilous time. What you find fulfilling, what you long for in your heart, is ultimately what you will and what you are worshiping. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Technology is not new. Okay, and sometimes in this message when I talk about technology, it's very broad. I might be pointing at specifics later on, but technology, we can read about it in Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles 26. and verse 15 talks about King Uzziah. In verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, etc., to shoot arrows and to do the work of war. They were inventing and building engines. And many times through the Old Testament, they were building cities. Okay, the ark was built, the Tower of Babel. This was not done with simple sticks and stones. This was done with technology and with engines, with machinery. And so technology has been with us, and it will continue to be with us for a long, long time. So it's just becoming more prevalent today, where children can consume it freely and readily. On May 24, 1844, I believe his name was Samuel Morse, the first message was sent. Samuel Morse made an incredible proclamation that he was able to send a message over wire. And that day, they had arranged between, I believe, Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, they had stretched a wire, and he was going to demonstrate in sending a message. The first message that was sent was, "What hath God wrought?" Okay. later on, in 1969, the internet was connected, so to say, between point A and point B. And they were able to send something. They had intended to send the word "login." But supposedly the system failed and crashed after the second letter. They only managed to send "lo." In 1993 is when the internet, as we know it, became publicly accessible. And a lot of things have happened since then, where the world that we know has been connected in an incredible, diverse ways. The first danger that I want to bring to you this morning is the danger of content. The danger of content. In James chapter 4, verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy with God." And in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, "Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." This morning, I have a bit of an object lesson for you. You all know what this is. This is something that Rubik's Cube, it just twists my mind funny when I try to put it together, but I know some of you here are very capable in doing it in 5 seconds, perhaps. But this morning, I want you to look at this, and I want to imagine, use your creative imagination here, and pretend this is a powerful cube, okay, that will give you the ability, each color representing an ability that you may have in perhaps secular knowledge or pride in your ability, in excelling in something, be it engineering or anything that you can imagine, that this cube will give you the ability to accomplish it. Okay, and now, which of you fathers will come and stumble over each other, fight over each other to come and take this home? And when you bring it home, where are you going to keep it in your house? Are you going to let your son take it to his bedroom, keep it in his bedroom? Are you going to keep it in your toy box, perhaps? Or are you going to put it into the living room prominently on a side table and where the family comes together and it's readily there and accessible? The danger of content. Okay, content is content that is not in harmony with the lordship of the Son of God should never be utilized in our devices. Can we agree this morning that content is a heart issue? Can you agree that it must be a heart issue? Distance, the distance between the time of our thoughts and the time of fulfilling it has tremendously shortened over time. We carry them around in our pockets. And whatever question that comes up, it's very easy for us, right? It's right there, it's accessible to just Google it, right? Just Google it. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." When we allow worldliness in, when we engage in inviting the world in to influence us, we are desensitizing our conscience. And we cannot feed on a diet of worldliness and be holy. We cannot do that. We'll run into peril after peril. The next danger is the danger of lost time. In Ephesians 5, verse 14 through 17, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How much time does a young mother have for writing blogs, for posting Bible verses or pictures of the daily events on statuses? How much time does an older woman have for Facebook and other social platforms, for Pinterest and all the others? How much time does a young Christian have for YouTube, funny videos, for documentaries, or for worse? How much time does a young father have to follow and watch sports? How much time does grandpa have for Kijiji, politics, or CBC radio, or more funny videos on YouTube? We all know how family gatherings go in a lot of times, where the cell phone will be out and, hey, look at this funny video. You got to see this. And it gets passed around. We can quickly judge on what's wrong use of technology, but we must acknowledge that times are changing. If we cannot, we will have very little impact on how we teach our children or the next generation. Time is a very valuable resource. We only have 24 hours. We can't get, once it's gone, it's gone. We can't get more of it. We can't make more time. We can't stretch it, and we can't stop it. At the end of our life, there is only regrets of how we used it and how we did not spend more of it to get to know God more and to draw closer to Him. Young people, God is going to call you to do many things in the coming years and decades. Are you going to prepare for the challenges you'll face, or are you going to waste the time you have to strengthen your personal walk with God, to prepare for when He calls you, or are you going to wait? Are you going to waste it away on your technology? The next danger is the danger of a blurred reality. The danger of a blurred reality. Go to Luke chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. In God's world, there is no blurred reality. As technology has advanced, and as we have more and more ways and opportunities by which we project ourselves visually, or at least socially, out into the spectrum, we face a bombardment of temptation to believe what is fake. Okay, to believe what is fake, fake news. We have fake profiles, hidden realities. Social media is the least social thing that exists. Okay, and I don't know your standard. I don't know what brotherhood decisions you've made. I've heard some, but I believe we have a certain restraint when it comes to social media. And this is just to put it out there, okay? That social media is the least social thing that exists, and make you think about that a bit. FaceTime is not FaceTime, like one-on-one FaceTime that we know about and supposed to care about. FaceTime is screen time. Online, you can be who you want to be. You can project your image as you want others to see it, regardless of how reality really is. Another way we have blurred reality is with people who are real on social media but fake in church, in family, and in youth groups. Technology today is inviting us to believe in this blurred reality. If it goes on unchecked, we will yet see in coming years things that today you could hardly imagine possible. These are tools of Satan. Okay, social media, tools of Satan. To use social media as a substitute to real face-to-face interaction and relationships. It just makes it so easy that when we face a hard time, we tend to go and connect with somebody perhaps that is thousands of miles away. And it just makes it so easy to share our side, our woes with this individual. And they don't have any qualm with agreeing with us and being sorry with us. While we are engaged in the distant relationship, we are not available locally. But what is real? Is the relationship you have with your device real? Or is it real where you meet with people, interact with them, have some bumps and conflicts, disagreements? Which is the real world? Which is it important that you are good at communicating remotely and distantly or one-on-one, sharing hearts? This area of blurred reality is only getting worse. We are just seeing the tip of the iceberg. The reality of the struggle for moral purity that young men and young ladies have has only been amplified by the easy access possible by the devices in your hands. Imagine the impact of virtual real world, where you're interacting with nothing but digital reality input. This is not new anymore, where you see people driving down the street with goggles on their faces, and they're seeing through their virtual reality world, trying to interact with the real world and the virtual reality world at the same time. The consequences of that. Number four, the danger of mind numbing. Our use and interaction with technology is making us dumb, not smarter. God has given us a sound mind. Study to show thyself approved unto God, and called to seek for meat, not milk. Jesus teaches us in the temple, interacting with the disciples and interacting with the Pharisees at the young age that he started doing that, and being an example like that. Today, as soon as a conversation requires deep thought, we see people's eyes glaze over or even reaching for the phones. We are losing our ability to think deeply. You know why? Because we'll grab our device and ask Google about it instead of thinking through it and coming to a mindful, purposeful conclusion of the matter. Screen time on young minds is actually very damaging. Okay, studies have shown over and over that we should not be on our screens a minimum of 1 hour before bedtime. Our brains simply cannot rest from screen to pillow. And so we come to the thought of what then? What should we do? We are admonished again and again to walk circumspectly. Be cautious. Be thoughtful. Seriously think about what you are doing and where you are going. Are we as fathers doing everything we can to protect our young people, to protect our children? We are responsible. We are responsible in our homes for the right use of the technology. Many young boys, their first introduction to pornography is on their mom's phones. Why? Why is that so easy? Well, the mom doesn't need a passcode on her phone. After all, why would she? It's her phone. But there's open access. The fact is that most teenagers know their parents' passcode already. Are we engaged? Are we aware? Are we alert? Do we know what's happening in our homes? Do we realize that that Satan is a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour? The casualties of technology are many. Build real relationships. This is much easier said. Okay, I realize that. Real relationships take hard work. It takes one anothering. And it takes a sacrificing on our part. Self-discipline. We talk about food fasts for the sake of our bodily health, but can we consider technology fast? Can we consider a smartphone fast? What do you love? What is truly important to you? In Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What are we setting our affections on the most? What about our digital footprint? Does Google know us more, know more about us than our brother does? We might consider that we don't have anything to hide on our devices. I'm open to that. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong on my smartphone. And so our consideration, our guards are put down. But would we allow a stranger to come into our house and walk down the hallway into our bedrooms? Perhaps open a dresser drawer and shuffle around, just have a look-see, whatever he wants to look into. Would we be okay with that? Would we be okay if we knew that Google is hosting 90% of our data on their servers? That they're able to determine your behavior according to the data that they store on their servers. If we like it or not, that is reality. That they can actually control your behavior according to what they see your device is doing online. Your digital footprint is a real thing. In considering how the appetite of our digital life, that the time that we have to consume, to spend on our cell phones and generally on the internet. It has been proven that your behavior can be determined by by certain things, and they've certain processes that they put in front of you on your screen. There's tiny numbers that appear on the top right-hand corner of icons, and your mind subconsciously goes there and says, "What is this? What is this giving me?" And it's giving you a response. You click on that, and it gives you a response. Now, this creates a cycle of our input, what they offer you, and our input, and pretty soon we're hooked, because every time we click on that, we get a different response. Every time it dings, our mind, what is that? What is that going to give me? And you click on that, and you're satisfied for the minute. Consider with me, if you go to your fridge, the same principle applies here. You go to your fridge, you open the door, the light comes on. You look around, you close the door, and you're not consumed by the need to go back and open the door and see the light come on. What if you would go there and one time it plays a music tune as well as turning the light on? The next time you come back, the light blinks three times. The next time you come back, it's something else. You know, that action versus response, and your subconsciously builds a cycle of addiction on your smartphones, especially that happens. Are we aware of are we aware of those cycles in our own heart? Second Corinthians, chapter 6. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This morning, do we realize the power of technology in our hearts? Do we realize that technology changes? That technology changes our worldview, how we perceive our community, how we perceive our brothers and sisters. Do we realize that the Christian cannot be a user of technology without being intentional? As fathers, as mothers, do we know, are we aware of the appetite that our children have once they are introduced to technology, consuming it, the diet of being entertained? Being entertained is very powerful and very addictive, even if we try to limit the access that our children have. especially at a young age. It is incredibly addictive. It is no wonder how these moving pictures are put together. If you consider how it works, that the picture that you see is not still for more than a couple seconds. The view changes, something changes on the screen, and our mind is drawn again. That young mind is drawn again to what happens next, and it's just an incredible drawing power that has, and how it changes physically the mind. Originally I wasn't sure if I should say anything about this, but I work with a company that works very closely with churches and with individuals across North America. I talk to these people every day. The range of discussions that we have is the use of technology and how stuff is accessible. And there's a certain heart cry that I hear on certain times with people. Sometimes the people that I talk to, they're on tech committees, on churches, congregations. They're appointed to manage or oversee the right use of technology, if you will, in the congregation. And sometimes I hear that longing, that heart's desire for them to be able to put those fences higher, that the users are unable to access that certain content online, if you will, on their smartphones or computer systems. And so if you're considering of what do we do? There's this whole world of technology in front of us. And it's ever so changing with the availability of social media, Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, Snapchat. There's a whole world out there. Is any of that good for us to participate in? Well, my conclusion is no, it's not. While you might say that there's right ways of using it, and surely there is, but is it necessary? Do you need to count the cost of what it will cost you to participate in that program? What will it cost you? Will it cost your relationship with your neighbor? Is it going to cost your relationship with your church brother miles down the road, where you stop calling them, instead you send a message? It used to be that it was very painstaking to type a text message, where you would much rather dial the number and call a person rather than typing a message out. Those times have changed. Are you willing to sacrifice that? And so I find myself wondering, as a group of churches, what have we done in preparing us? Have we gone into this just willy-nilly? Have we have we counted the cost of what the cost will be for us to participate in the whole scheme of being online and being connected, being constantly available? So I guess in conclusion, it's very hard to pinpoint, it's very hard to put something down definitively. I've gone through a lot of the areas that we find where we might be drawn to, the dangers of the few dangers of technology that I have, and there's much more to cover. A scripture that I have here in 1 Samuel is perhaps a heart's cry that for us as parents, okay, we find ourselves stumbling through this, making right decisions online, and if it's okay for our 14-year-old to have a phone or not, and it happens so quickly where the wrong search is made and the wrong pictures are portrayed and presented, and that trap is set so easily and it's fallen into so quickly, and we don't know about it. As parents, we don't realize it. As children, it might be, oh no, I shouldn't have seen this, and it's put away, but it's come back again. You come back to it, and is it on a weak moment? Very, very often so, it's on a weak moment. But what do we do? As parents, we need to be aware of these dangers. And this passage in 1 Samuel has tremendously encouraged me. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 through 24. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. There is this intentional decision here to follow the Lord, and do it with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Again, we see this thing of us as parents being responsible for our children. We have, I'm sort of in the middle age group here. But there's some here that are older than me, and certainly there's older people out there that technology came to them, okay? And they had to ask the question, well, what do we do with this? And then there's the younger ones that were born, and technology has been here, and we were sort of, for the lack of a better expression, we were born into technology, where it has always been part of our life. And it's something good. That's what I want to leave with you, is question it. Don't just go into it with an open mind and think that it's something convenient that will improve your lifestyle. And I want you to question it. None of this is If you think of technology and smart devices, internet content, none of it is put out there just for the sake of putting it out there. There is always an intention, and there's always a consequence in consuming the content, what we come across. So that's what I want to leave with you, is to question what you are doing with your digital footprint. I don't want to bring a sales pitch to you for the people that I work for. That's not my intention to be here. I want to put this out and to make you think and to, as mothers and fathers, to be aware of the many dangers that are out there, that are seeking to become part of our existence, as you will. And it is going to come to that, where technology will be just part of our children's lives, and much so more than our own life. So I want to leave that with you. If there's any specific questions, by all means, I want to be ready to answer. But I'll give that over to whoever moderates then. God bless you.